This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Well, after safety, the other immediate concern that winter brings is those whopping hydro bills, and it is especially a problem for people on fixed incomes. And I know that this is a huge issue for our audience, and a lot of you have a lot to say about it. So the numbers, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740, and we want to hear from you. Now, CARP has launched a campaign called Heat or Eat. It's designed to put pressure on the Ontario government to bring down those hydro rates. And yes, the name of the campaign says it all, Heat or Eat. And it is because a lot of people have to make that decision, whether they're going to heat their homes or put food on the table or fill a prescription. Shouldn't be happening. CARP polled its members and found that 36% are unable to keep up with rising electricity bills. So again, we want to hear from you right now, though. I'm here with Wanda Morris, Vice President of Advocacy and COO of CARP. Wanda, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Libby, always a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so what did you find in the CARP poll?
Well, surprisingly, because our members tend to skew a little bit better educated, a little bit better off than the typical older Canadian, that many of them are actually struggling with their hydro costs. I mean, what we know is that those costs have doubled in the last 10 years, and hydro costs here in Ontario are some of the highest, I think possibly the highest, in Canada and the continental U.S.
Wow.
It is a concern. And for people, you know, many of our members are living on fixed incomes or they have investments. And it's, as you know, hard to get much of a safe return on investments. So out of control costs like this make it very difficult for them to make ends meet.
Uh-huh. And what do your members want done about this?
Well, our members would like those rates rolled back. We were very pleased to have Catherine Nguyen acknowledge that she had made a mistake, which sounded like the prelude to fixing it, but nothing's happened. That's why we've launched the Heat or Eat campaign. We're encouraging everyone that hears this to go to our website, carp.ca, and sign the petition, carp.ca/hydro, carp.ca/hydro.
It's very interesting. I mean, as you said, it was a few weeks ago, and Kathleen Nguyen appeared at a Liberal meeting, and she kind of did this mea culpa. Not surprisingly, it came after a poll that showed her approval rating was rock bottom, I think 15%. Doesn't get much lower than that. And our listeners gave me an earful of what they thought of Kathleen Nguyen giving that mea culpa, saying, I made a mistake, because I wanted to know, is that going to be enough for them to give her another chance? So I still am asking that question and leaving it open. Are you willing to give Kathleen Nguyen another chance? And I know there's going to be a small break of HST on the hydro rates come January, but it still isn't very much. So let's just give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-744-740. And we are talking about those hydro rates. The winter has just hit, which means that we need the hydro now more than ever. What do you think? And a campaign, again, called Heat or Eat, and a great name for the campaign because it says it all, Wanda.
It sure does. And, you know, Libby, one of the things I think is such an indictment of our society is that 25% of single women seniors live in poverty. I mean, we've made some great strides at CARP. You know, we're really pleased that we held the government's feet to the fire and got a $1,000 increase in the guaranteed income supplement to our lowest paid Canadians. But they are still below the poverty rate. And frankly, that's unacceptable. We need to do better.
Okay. And again, so back to the hydro, what do you find that people are choosing the most? Do they choose to pay those hydro bills? I know that they can't shut off your hydro in the winter. Do they choose to pay the hydro bills? Do they buy food? What about their prescriptions? You know, on the other side, I talk to pharmacists and people who measure this, and there are a lot of prescriptions that people really need that go unfilled.
You are exactly right, and we've heard that too. People, even though our politicians would say there's a fairly small copay, the reality is that individuals do choose to give up their medications. And, you know, people don't necessarily choose to stop eating, but they stop eating healthy food. They stop being able to buy fresh produce and other things, and instead they're eating, you know, Kraft dinner and ramen noodles. And both of these things together, the lack of prescription medication and the lack of a healthy diet, can result in, you know, significant illness and cost to the healthcare system. So we have, you know, perhaps the government saving a little bit of money in one area, but incurring significant costs in the other.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. We've got, is it Jane or Doe in Bluewater? Hi, Jane. Jane, hello?
All are a familiar one, but I'm not friendly with hydro. I've had my experiences with hydro, and some of them are not pleasant. I am an educated person, and I do have a reduced pension. I've had experiences where they want their payment before the pension comes in, and have had arguments, gone to ombudsman in order to get fair consideration about extending long enough till your pension comes in to pay the bill. It's a difficult row to hoe, and I've found that I've had to fight and fight and fight, not because of poor budgeting, because there wasn't enough, basically.
Jane,
and to wait for an extra week or an extra 5 days for the pension to come in was certainly not a hardship. And for them, but it definitely is for a senior.
Jane,
I don't know if there's anything that can be done about even, you know, exceptions and extending those rates for seniors to wait till their funds come in.
Jane, do they charge you a late fee? Is that the issue? What happens if you're a little bit late?
They can turn it off and have, with a pending ice storm. They've turned it off for 1 week.
Wow.
Well, because I guess it depends on the, I think it's, isn't it between November and March that they can't turn it off?
No, they do. This was the 24th of December 1 year. I had it turned off until the 31st when my pensions came in.
Wow.
Yep, it's and I've argued, and I've been to ombudsman, and I've had assistance once I go to ombudsman, but until that point, there's nothing anybody can do. There's no supervisor that can overrule. There's no, I mean, it's been a real battle royal.
I would think that's the least. I mean, Wanda, you're asking CARP to ask the government to roll back the rates for Zoomers who can't afford it, but, you know, to extend the payment period by a week, that doesn't seem like such a big deal.
You know, I think we may have a bureaucracy here that's unable to respond to needs of individuals. And, you know, certainly I'm not saying anybody should get a free ride if they can't afford their hydro. They should certainly be required to pay it. But can we really be in a situation where we leave people freezing in the cold? And of course, Libby, the other thing we didn't even talk about is how the rate schedule really penalizes older Canadians. The idea is time of use electricity rates so that people are incented to use electricity in the evenings and off peak rather than during the day. But who's home during the day but older Canadians? And for them to have to pay a premium to heat their homes or else, you know, spend their days at the local mall is, again, another really unfair situation.
Absolutely. I mean, I gather that they may be getting rid of that.
Well, I will be interested to see, at least in the case of seniors and others who are retired or spending their days at home, I would certainly welcome that change.
Is that something that CARP is asking for?
What we've been doing is increasing the pressure on the government to make changes. We're pretty open to how that happens. But the silly thing is, Libby, that the government entered into some contracts for energy and paid some high cancellation rates. That's, you know, really driven up the costs for Ontario Hydro. But fair enough. But those costs shouldn't all be borne by Ontario Hydro and thus passed on to consumers. If the government made the decision to cancel the contracts, then it should be paying for those contract fees out of general revenues, and Hydro should be able to have a more sustainable budget.
Okay, Jane, is that an issue for you as well, the fact that the rates are higher during the day?
Has been when I'm working part-time. Even though I'm retired, I have to work part-time because an early retirement doesn't bring in the amount that a full retirement does. But I find that the rates have been ridiculous for people with electric heat, and there are many. And for people that are on oxygen tanks and such as that, seniors, and that's not me, but I certainly think about the seniors in my organization that are struggling with issues far greater than the ones that I have and wonder how they possibly manage, because I don't know if there are special considerations made for them. I know that the Hydro has a program for people that have low income, but their consideration of low income and mine is quite different.
Okay.
It has to be extremely low in order to qualify for these support programs.
Okay. Jane, thanks for your call. We're going to take another call now, but please go to carp.ca and sign that petition.
Thank you so much for having this on. I think it's an important conversation.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, Nick in Oakville.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Heat or eat, yet we have 23 vice presidents at Hydro that don't have a title.
Yeah.
At one point, we paid the lowest hydro rates in North America. And through mismanagement and buffoonery, we now pay the highest. And the reason I think it's more, the biggest reason is because of the nuke plants. Because the nuke plants cost so much money to refurbish.
Right.
They're always behind schedule. They go way over. Like, they you know how many, I heard an estimate, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that 20,000 people work at Darlington or Pickering, one of the two. 20,000 people. Like, if that isn't the case for getting into renewables and, you know, and getting off of this. The other thing is, they should be making buildings generate their own hydro and forget the grid altogether. That way we're not dependent on these guys. If we generated our own power and our buildings were efficient enough, we wouldn't need the grid. We wouldn't need these people. And we wouldn't be held hostage by them.
Well, I guess that's one solution, and a lot of people are annoyed that the government really has paid too much for some of these alternative energy contracts,
well,
and that
you know,
has...
That's just ridiculous, what the rates they're paying and the contracts that they're signing. It's, I don't know what they're thinking when they go into this on our behalf. I don't know. Like, it's really, it boggles your mind, some of the deals these guys come up with. But if anything, what they should be doing, if you're going to sell hydro, fine, sell it. But don't give it back to your wherever it's going to disappear again. Give it to people directly so they can get away. They can make their own power. If you're going to give away, then give the money to people directly and businesses directly to get off the grid.
Okay.
Altogether.
Nick in Oakville, thanks so much for that.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, so here is the situation. The energy minister said that the government has proposed legislation that would ban any utility from cutting customers off during the winter. Right now, Hydro One has a policy of not doing that during the cold months, but it has decided to use, and I quote, greater latitude and discretion with people whose accounts haven't been paid for 6 months or so. So the bottom line is that now it's up to the utility. They do what they want, though they do. Hydro One has a policy of not cutting you off. The government once says it has the intention of introducing legislation. And Wanda, are you advocating for that as well?
Absolutely. I mean, for people that are on lower incomes, I think we need to be cognizant of their situations. We do have the LEAP program, which offers a kind of a $500 rebate for people in emergency situations. But we just have to look beyond that to people living on such tight incomes. And of course, the reality is who gets most hit by the increases in electricity? It's, you know, tends to be the poorest seniors, because those are the ones living in places heated by electric heat. You know, more grander homes tend to be electrically heated. So it's really, in some ways, an attack on our poorest, and we need to stop that.
And it's also true that as you get older, you get colder. and that's a factor, too. So you might need to turn it up a bit more. Let's hear from Sharon near London. Hi, Sharon.
Hello. We live out in the country, and you were talking about time of use, and I don't have the option of just going to a mall during the day. We have to have lights on and heat on and so forth during the day, because wherever you go, you have to drive, and of course, gas is pretty expensive too, so you only go away to get your groceries and so forth. And so time of use is very important for us, because most of our electricity is during the day. And it's hard to have to always do your laundry on the weekend and at night, because you get tired by the evening as a retired person.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the delivery charge. The delivery charge is way more than the amount of electricity that we use. Our bill is about $350 a month, and way more than half of it is delivery charge, which I think is ridiculous.
A lot of people are really annoyed by that delivery charge, got to tell you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so in order to pay the bills and so forth, because neither my husband or I had a job where we have a pension plan, so the money that we have saved up to try to do things when we retire is going for things like paying the electricity bill. And that's not really fair either.
That's a shame.
Yes.
Yeah. It really is. And we're certainly hearing from particularly our rural members that they are being hit among the hardest by these increases.
Yep.
Oh, yes. The delivery charge is ridiculous. And as I say, the time of use is crazy. And even when we were away camping for a month in the fall, we came back and our hydro bill was the same as before. So I don't know how they're reading the meters. And it doesn't seem to make any difference whether you're home or whether you're not, because we turned everything off, even the hot water heater and everything. And so I don't know how they read these meters and how they charge, but...
Mm-hmm. Are you on equal billing?
No, we're not. Oh. We pay by the month.
Okay, well, that doesn't make sense to us here.
It doesn't make sense to us either, so... We're afraid to complain because we're afraid of getting picked on if we complain, and that's...
What do you mean, picked on?
Well, if we go and complain, they're liable to look into your bill and say, oh, we're not charging you enough. We're afraid to say anything, you know, so...
Well, it's come to that where people just do not trust to be dealt with in anything remotely as being fair. And I think
that's right.
Says a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and Libby, I'd like to pick up on what one of your earlier callers said about there being a significant number of vice presidents at Ontario Hydro. And certainly if we look at the compensation, which is publicly available compared to, you know, say, BC Hydro, who needs to be paid close to $1 million in salary, let alone pension and other benefits? I think, somebody in that position is a public servant, and they should be putting the public's interest forward, and our government should stop signing those lucrative compensation contracts.
Well, you know, and the argument always is this is what we have to pay to get them from the private sector, but it doesn't seem like they're doing a very good job.
I don't know that
job.
We have to have that many of them, and
yeah.
When you get your pension and your increase is a couple of dollars, it yeah. seems pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Sharon, I hope that you'll go to carps.ca and sign that petition.
Now that I know about it, I will.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Don in Union. Hello, Don.
Hi, Libby. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Fine. Libby, I have a story that's about 8 years old about an employee who worked at Hydro. He was making $800 a day.
That would have been a consultant.
$200 to the gentleman that got him the job. This job was supposed to last him about 3 months. He turned it into 3 years at $1,000 a day minus $200 for the guy that got him the job. Now, this is the kind of money that Ontario Hydro throws around. He was unemployed. He was past president of a company, but just the same. $1,000 a day?
That sounds like a consulting job with a very...
No, he wasn't a consultant. He was just a warehouse worker.
What?
He was a warehouse worker. Any of his skills that he had received through working were never used. He was a warehouse worker.
Well, I think, you know, the Auditor General, she didn't delve into Hydro this time, but has in the past. We haven't checked what you've said, but, you know, I don't think anybody would find anything hard to believe at this point.
Well, I think that they should take a look at Hydro and say, listen, boys, we need one president. We need one vice president, and the rest of you can
get a huge golden parachute.
Well, not necessarily a huge golden parachute, but just the same, I think they should thin the herd.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people would agree with you there.
Just a story for you.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Bye-bye. Okay. That is all the time that we have for this section. You know, we're going to be talking about Hydro a lot more. Wanda, just before we go, tell us what you're hoping for this campaign.
Thanks, Libby. Well, what we know is that, politicians listen to voters, and we know that our members vote. So if this is important to you, then please speak up. You can go to our website, carp.ca/hydro, sign the petition, and also, by all means, send an email to your MPP, let them know that this issue is important to you, and as long as we keep raising our voice, then I believe that we will get action, and we certainly are intent on doing so.
Okay, Wanda Morris, thank you so much.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.